Well, 26 years ago, the Grand Junction Church went to the feast in Denver. We were told that's where to go, so that's what we did. And it was for 3 days, a three-day weekend, and it was very disappointing. I didn't like that. So the next few months passed, and I was steaming and not happy. And I went to Del Edger, he's our pastor, and asked, why can't we host a feast at Tabernacles here in Grand Junction? And Del's answer is usual, what he says. He said, let me think about it. Isn't that right, Del? You come with him to him with a problem, and he'd say, let me think about that. Okay. So 3 days later, Del said, I can't think of a reason not to. He said, no, we can do that. How will we do it? Well, I worked at Ambassador College, Worldwide Church of God, for 28 years. I started out as a machine operator and ended up closing my department. And I sat in on many planning meetings for different things. But we had a planning meeting before and after every feast. You could bet money on it. And so I had experience. My wife, in the meantime, she worked at Cal State University as a secretary on a three-year grant to plan and host a national home healthcare nursing conference. And it turned out it was worldwide. They had people from all over the world attend this conference. And they put her up in the Hilton and fed her. And I went down there one night and we had lunch or dinner together. It was nice. That type of work is now referred to as event planning. So that's what we were starting for the feast, an event. We didn't think much about it at the time, but we had the background to plan the feast. We were a shoo-in. And I'm not bragging, but we didn't know anything about this. We ended here and we had the perfect lot and everything worked out. So you don't know. God moves sometimes and you don't understand it. So I drove to Pasadena, California to see Ron Kelly to work out some of the details. And he warned me the feast never pays for itself and they would not help. We were on our own financially and they would only give us labels of members located in states that border Colorado. So it's Utah, Arizona, New Mexico, Kansas, Wyoming, Nebraska, and Oklahoma. And we only got Oklahoma because of that little panhandle. There you go. Panhandle that sticks out. We clip that. But they would give us labels in any format that I wanted. And I left Pasadena with a stack of gummy labels, east, west, and that's left to right, four up, four across, and my pickup. And I was a happy camper. because I had hopes. And we did a postcard survey with those gummy labels, and there was enough interest to come to Grand Junction for the feast, and we got a real good response back from that postcard. So we were on our way. And the Grand Junction Church was all in. I remember that. There was no people dragging their feet or had anything. Everybody was for it. So amazing. And Mark gave some of the numbers. Our first feast was around, I thought 200, but I'll go with his number, 170. If you get on I-70 and you go, like Mark said, exit 42, the first building on the right is where we had our first feast. And we had so many people, kind of an overflow. We rented a tent, and outside we had a lady, our church member, Geneva Frazier. What a gal. She used to run a restaurant. Can you imagine God choosing someone who used to run a restaurant? And boy, she would make coffee and have donuts and whatever, just like this, just like it. It was a pleasure because the wind was blowing and it was cold, and we would go get in that tent and talk to people. So we do the same thing on the first night. Why? Because we are hosting for God's feast. And from our experience, you rush to get here. And I tell you, all of you, enjoy. Enjoy it while you're here. We want you to. If you have questions, ask. Our biggest attendance year was about 550 registered. And this congregation has dwindled down, smaller and smaller, but we have grown older and older. Older people tend to do less. They have things to move, Rich and someone else, my wife and Donna. They cleaned out our shed out here just a few days ago. And I just steered clear, because I would just be like an anchor in trouble. But this building came our way because of the need to have a fixed building and not go moving every year or 6 months or something. And we bounced around to different churches when I got here. And it was okay. I had a big one-ton diesel, and we would throw all the books and junk in there and move. But it doesn't work that way. God knows. And it's a little scary sometimes. He really knows. It is a blessing. This building is from God in His mercy for the old folks. God knows this church's needs and our needs before we understand what the need is sometimes. So let's go to Matthew 6:7. We'll see how my wife does. Matthew 6:7. I see her hunched over there. Okay. I'll read this. But when you pray, this is Christ speaking. He says, when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, and they think that they shall be heard for much speaking. Well, that's right. But Not you, therefore, like unto them. For your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. God has a plan. 2006 in the spring, we were up at the church building up here, and Dale comes to me after church, and he sits down and he said, "We need a website." Now, Dale was into real estate, and the way you make sales is get your name out there. And that's what he wanted us to do. He said, "Look, find out about the cost, and is there anyone in our congregation that can do that?" Well, I don't know. Who can do it? So I did. You know how I found out? In the old days, we had a phone book about this thick. So I looked up computers and electronic repair and started making phone calls. And I found out it cost around $200 to $400 plus the cost, that's for the setup, plus the cost of maintaining each month. And I don't remember praying about it, but I must have, and people have, because I I didn't have a good answer for Dell, and a complete answer. And we did not have a lot of money. And as time slips by, one Sabbath after that, it was several Sabbaths, and I was thinking about it. And a very casual man walked in, and we needed, you know, I thought, well, he's new. He was driving a camper van, touring the country, just looking at churches and towns. So he would visit churches, just like people come here in the summer. Well, he's still with us on the Sabbath. He's the first to arrive, one of the first. And there he is, my friend Les, and Les Jenkins. And he's one of the last ones to leave. And Les spent his working life, most of it, working with an IBM in their research laboratory in New York. Could I ask for a better person than an electronic engineer who has patents, his name on patents, and he's a genius with his stuff? See? And here he just blows it. And he kind of liked us, and he stayed. And that's pretty neat.
He still likes us.
Yeah, he still likes us. And we have coffee together once in a while. It's fun. One point we need to know about God and Jesus Christ is the subject of time. You only have so much time and then you're gone. All of us, every man shall die. We've got to. That's part of the plan. Well, we're starting the feast. 7 days. And then the eighth day, we're going to have services all that time and social things. And I ask you to just pick and choose, but enjoy our time together. And it's because it's people with like mind, you're all converted. And you have the same desire. What is that? To serve God and follow his laws. We need that in this country, following the laws. And when this feast is over, time's up. That time is gone. And one thing Nita and I have found out about feast You just go to a town and you get in your hotel and you pick a few restaurants and you know where you're going and you pick up a few friends and you're going out and you're doing things and it's over. Time flies. And the same thing will happen here. After 8 days, we're closing up shop. And then that's it. And you have to go home because you have responsibilities. The Bible teaches time management. And I was a supervisor. And getting people arrive on time and quit on time, I still have that pet peeve right here in this room. How does God do that? Well, he emphasizes being diligent. What do I mean? I mean industrious and persistent. God expects you to be persistent and diligent and avoid laziness. I like that word, slothful. I don't know. I looked it up and it means lazy. So I typed in Google and started cruising around. And in the Bible, what about time management? I saw the words I typed in. In the Bible, do you find time management? And there's a whole bunch of websites. And each one has all these scriptures. It saved me a ton of time. You know why? Because my memory's failing. And I asked Nita, what is that scripture about, sewing or dress, or and I can't come up with it. So I'll tell you, sometimes Google is your friend. Not to knock Strong's, but so do you have a pen? Does everybody get a pen yet? No? Anybody? 1, 2, 3. 4, 5, 6, 7. Any over here? 8. Okay. We have a box back there. And every year we give you a calendar. And this year is special. That's neat. And we give you a pen. And the pen has a scripture on it. This year it says, Feast of Tabernacles, 2000-2005. Grand Junction, Colorado. And it says, and let us not be weary of well-doing. Galatians 6:9. So each year we pick a scripture. And I've been working on this, and Nita and I came across this, and voila. So don't forget, grab a pen, grab a calendar, and you please do. Okay, Galatians 6:9. Paul writes, and let us not be weary of well-doing. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. And that's you. You're my household of faith. Ephesians 5:15. Ephesians 5:15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And if you watch the news, you got to agree with that. It's different news. I can't believe the rebellion in this country. Wherefore, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And people will touch on that. Matthew 6:31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have needs, all of these things. And I just read to you, this building, Les, Nita and I should tell you another story about the feast, the first feast. Nita got a job at an oil company, and we're living in a trailer, had four wheels, that's it. And she asked her boss, can I come in and use the computer for our church? He said, sure, you're welcome. And it's printed. We print things. I'd go up and help her on Sunday, and we knocked out that card. We knocked out documents for the feast and for the church. And the guy was happy. Interesting. See, let's go to 6:33. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Boy, he's not kidding there. I have so much tools and saws and welders and anything. I have some tools for in my car for Rich so he can fix that loose faucet in there. He doesn't even know yet, but I got that. You need a tool, Rich? I got it, probably. He'll add things to you. I never wanted to speak, and here I am. I have a wonderful audience and a wonderful building and a wonderful climate, and I got so much going for me. Can't believe it. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let us go to Psalms. Psalms 90 and 9. I didn't look up who wrote this. Probably David. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. No kidding. Each of us is different. Each of you have a different profession or had a different profession and have different traits. Boy, he nailed it. Psalms 90 and 10. The days of our years are 70. And if by reasons of strength they be 80 years. I'm way past that expiration date. That was a joke. Yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. That's right. You have so much time. And during the next 8 days, I challenge you, get up, hit it. Do it. Psalms 90:11. Who knows the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear? So is your wrath. So teach us to number our days. That's what I'm trying to do. God says, number your days. Think about it. That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Spend the time wisely. Don't frittle it off. I'm not going to tell you. Let's go to Colossians 4 and 2. Colossians 4 and 2 for some more instructions. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom, so be smart about it, toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Such wisdom. James 4:13. James 4:13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and gain, whereas you know not what shall be for the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanish away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this and that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoice is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to good, do good, and doth it not to him, it is sin. So it's sin if we don't move and get up and do things. And the older you get, the harder it is. Okay, John 9:1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he is born blind? Jesus answered, and this is hard, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. In 5:9-5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light. When he had thus spoken, he spit on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. What would God go to show who is Jesus? I wrote that, and then I answered that. He will try you. He tried that family. I can't imagine having a child born that can't see. And then come to find out, it's God. So he will try you. It's normal. Ecclesiastes, this is one of my favorite things about time. To everything there's a season. Ecclesiastes 3:1. And I looked at that calendar and it's on the back. And Mark and I did. You want to pick a theme, Mark? I think we got it, huh? Manage your time. Enjoy your time here. Wow. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. And I was given opportunity. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Now, you know what time it is? It's time for me to give you the last scripture. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 5:16. This is a key. You got time? 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice evermore. Be happy you're here. Thank you. Man, I see you all driving cars and driving around, and people we had dinner together after with friends after atonement. And it says, pray without ceasing. I love to go out and let the chickens out in the morning. It's cold now and crispy, and I thank God. Wow, what a beautiful view as the sun coming up. And I might have some clouds, but it is terrific here. And that's how I operate. Thank God for the opportunity here, up here. And everything give thanks. So be thankful. Attend these days as much as you can, because they'll be gone, and time is time. And once it's gone, this is it. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God and Jesus concerning you. And therefore, there's a reason you're all here.